back in South Point Village, A1 in the A10, episode 3. I'm Sean Bednard. I suppose I'm your host for this evening's events. To our right, we have Justin Gore on the stick mic.
How's it going, guys?
And, wow, Nick Peel making the blood sign on the headset. What's your opening line for tonight?
What a do, nephew. Quote, Snoop Dogg.
Wonderful. Right in front of me, Matt Feinauer, who will once again be referred to just as Feinauer for all convenience purposes. What do you got to say?
Hi.
Great. And Matt right next to me, Matt Courtney. How's it going?
I've got a new match on Tinder, so.
Huge. She will not be messaged.
You know what? Let's go with this first topic of the day. I think, you know, bringing up Tinder is actually a pretty solid point to this. Matt had a solid topic that I think actually fits this point right now. Is it possible to be just friends with benefits with a girl?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In my personal experience, it's at least really hard.
No. No.
I say no.
Really? Is it possible to be friends with a girl without
wanting benefits?
Friends with a girl who you once had benefits with post-benefit stage.
No.
I don't know. I've never had that, but I would assume no.
I would imagine no.
Well, I'd say it puts bread on the table, but if we have 5 pounds we still haven't touched.
God. All right, no, that's not... I quit.
No, wait, please do what you were saying.
Wait. Back to what Sean said. No one's ate any bread yet.
Well, no. Me and Matt got pretty good into our first loaf that we brought the first week. And then I was going to make us bread again on Sunday morning, and it was blue-green. And I don't know if you guys know anything about bread, but blue-green bread is not a good thing. And I've been too scared to open any other bread since then because I do not want it to go blue-green again.
Bread does not last for an entire semester.
Now, Nick, when we were discussing what our topics were going to be for the show, our somewhat of a rundown earlier today, the topic that you said that you wanted to bring up was wearing pajama bottoms to class for guys.
I did see that today. I was, you know, about ready to go inside my music class. And in walks a guy wearing Red Wings jammy pants. So okay. I've never seen that on a college campus before.
You have also only been on a college campus for 2 weeks.
Not true. Delta is a campus.
Delta is high school 2.0.
I also see more moms on campus at Delta than...
Exactly.
But on the topic of pajama bottoms.
Okay, so what do you think about that, Nick?
It's unprofessional. Don't wear it to college.
Unprofessional?
Unprofessional if you're going into a class. Heck yeah, it is.
You're paying them a shit ton of money. Where would you want?
You can wear what
Nick,
you
I
want.
Nick, I don't see you wearing a full tuxedo every class you go to.
That's like all...
Professional, correct?
Well, if you put it like that.
See, so what time was your class?
Noon.
Okay.
All right, that's kind of pushing it. See, like, I've got an 8 a.m. tomorrow. Is that not acceptable that I can roll out of bed at 7:55?
I would expect it more.
Okay, so you don't think – so at what point is the cutoff? Is the cutoff noon? Would you say the cutoff – what about a 10 a.m. class?
I'd say 11 would be my cutoff because at that point, if you can't wake up at about 10, then, well, A, go to bed earlier, or B, just – I don't know, set more alarms.
Because if you're wearing pajama bottoms to class, I'm guessing that you just woke up. Like, just woke up.
Yeah.
Which they very well could have.
He could have. I mean, he probably did. But, you know, I don't feel like wearing pajama bottoms to college class. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's very smart.
I disagree. I think if... Do what you must to, you know, learn the best way that you can. I mean, if it helps you to,
That's fair. That's fair. But I mean, like, what does that show for, like, the young professional you are? Like, wearing pajama bottoms. Are you going to wear that to work?
No, absolutely not. But I think that there's a totally different scope to the college campus versus an actual job. Especially when you're forced to take university program classes that... You don't want to take. Yeah. I mean, do you want to be in a music class as a chiropractic major?
No. Exercise science.
Exercise major. Science, yes. Excuse me.
Yes. But no, I don't want to be in music class.
See,
but.
Exactly. So he has, there is absolutely no professional gain to that class for him. Maybe.
So it matters the class, too, you think?
It definitely think plays a part in it.
I think absolutely. If you tell me, you know, if you but, take your exercise science classes more seriously than you would, say, this music class.
But if you're a music major, would you wear pajama bottoms to a biology class? Does it matter if you're interested
yeah.
in it?
I think that, absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I think when you are involved in something and, you know, you actually care about it, you'll take it a little bit more seriously.
Okay, so it's like a personal matter then. Well, so if you want to take it more seriously, then you wouldn't wear pajama bottoms.
I guess the thing that I see about it is if I wear pajama bottoms, per se, like you said, to a biology class as a broadcast major, what is the absolute best that I can get out of that biology class?
Basic biology.
Fantastic.
And that means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just regurgitating material for test grades.
Yeah.
Right. That's fair.
So I may very well wear pajamas tomorrow. Tomorrow is a broadcasting class. However, it's a three-hour lecture.
That lasted 30 minutes last Tuesday, which was fantastic.
Yes, that I am in no way, shape, or form motivated to go to. However, on Wednesday, I have a 12 o'clock lab.
12:30 even.
There you go. That, you know, is the same class, just the lab. However, I'm more inclined to, you know, be, you know, more professional about that class than I am this lecture. Because, you know, what difference does it make? The professor's not going to know me. There's 150 kids in the class. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to get talked at by some guy with a ponytail.
Well, and at the same time, we do have a project on Wednesday.
That's besides the point.
Let's talk about this guy with a ponytail.
It seems every broadcast teacher, male or female, will definitely have a ponytail and or a beard.
This is true.
What do you think about guys with ponytails? Like, legit ponytails.
It depends on the person and how they wear it. Okay. I know me and Matt had the same professor. He's in him right now. I had him last semester. He can absolutely rock a ponytail. And
absolutely.
He has been working it since the 80s or 90s.
He is a hardcore classic rock guy, really big into horror films. Mm-hmm. I mean, he breathes the living entity of a guy that you would see in the 80s rocking long hair.
Does he let his hair down or does he...
Always in a ponytail.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Always in a ponytail. It's nicely refined. I mean, he's got good hair. It works. And it looks natural on him. I couldn't picture him any other way.
No.
It's just that kind of guy that you would imagine to have long hair.
So I guess the question becomes then, if you could, would you rock a ponytail?
Working on it
right now. Gore, you had the man bun. Would you have grown it out all the way to ponytail level?
No, not because of style, but it was just annoying to have. I mean, it was nice that, like, I mean, if you had long hair, like, say, like an Ashton Kutcher that was kind of just, like, flowing everywhere.
Yeah.
If you, like, don't shower for, like, a day, it's going to get, like, greasy and you're going to tell. But when you put your hair in a ponytail, it's kind of just, like, no one knows. That's why girls put their hairs in ponytails.
Did you have to put it up each night or each day?
No, because, no. Like, the point of my hair was, like, the Bryce Harper. But then when I was just lazy and I didn't want to do anything to it, I just put it in a ponytail. So... And then when I cut it, too, it was easier just to put in a little ponytail.
Did people look at you in a...
In a weird way?
Yeah, in a weird way.
Or, like, a judging way?
Yeah.
I would say no. I mean, I'm not one to like, boast myself up, but I thought I looked decent, at least. Like,
yeah.
Respectable with the ponytail.
Well, it was life-changing when you came home without it.
So people, I don't know. Most people actually liked it that talked to me about it, but... Other than that, I would say it was kind of just like any other hairstyle. I mean, now it's kind of just like cliche when you see guys with a little ponytail. So that's why I got rid of it.
It's already been done before, yeah.
So switching topics up a little bit, one of the things that we had an idea of coming in was kind of more of a show heavy on, it seemed, rap music, more of hip-hop. Now, the original idea is going to be pushed back into next week's show. But one thing that we are going to be keeping around is the question that's been asked, what is your favorite one-liner in rap or hip-hop? I think we can start this one clockwise, so we'll start with you, Matt.
All right, my favorite one-liner that I've ever heard in a song comes from a rap song that maybe not a lot of people know of this rap group. They're kind of an older group. They're a Tribe Called Quest.
Yep.
Rest
in peace.
Fantastic. This comes from the song Scenario, and it's in a Fife Dawg verse. Quote, bust a nut inside your eye to show you where I come from.
Wow.
Favorite thing in the entire world. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. Fine Hour, what about you?
Something you guys don't know about me is Family Matters was like one of my favorite shows of all time.
Really?
It really was. I love that show.
We have to find that. It's intriguing.
Did I do that?
Yeah, it's not really on TV. Well, I don't know. Like, I watched it a lot back like freshman year or like sophomore year or something, because like I'd wake up early and it was on the Nick at Night like before you went to school, so I saw like every episode through that. So because of that, Kanye West had a lyric. It was simple and it made me laugh, so I liked it. Too many Urkels on your team, that's why you're Winslow. And anyone who watched the show understands it.
Yep.
It just made me laugh. It wasn't badass. It was just funny, and that's why I like.
Hey,
it.
I mean that's all you need. I mean that's exactly why what mine is going to be when we get around to me. I think if you can pull off humor like that, good wordplay. I mean that's exactly what you need to be doing.
I can't say that exactly mine was in the most serious of tones either.
I mean, like, so. All right, Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, mine is from the President Carter, Dwayne Michael Carter Jr. The President Carter. Everybody
President
knows who that Carter? Is, correct?
Of course.
It's the Lil Wayne. This quote is from Lil Wayne's song Bill Gates. And it goes, real G's move in silence.
God,
like
I hate you. You literally stole mine. That is my favorite line in
isn't
history.
It great?
It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that Lil Wayne is a good lyricist?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't really enjoy his music.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
mean
to an extent
yeah,
maybe, but
he has there I was never his biggest fan, but he had a lot of good songs, and like you were saying, the wordplay, just the things that he was able to do with puns, with setups, with deliveries.
You kind of have to laugh at some of his,
yeah.
his lyrics cuz they're funny. They really are.
He real truly he was entertaining.
I'd like to build off Nick's. I'm also going along the Lil Wayne line from I'm Not a Human Being too. The song Rich as Fuck, where he goes 6 feet deep, dick shovel in the dirt, R.I.P., rest in pussy.
It's so good.
One of the greatest lines.
So good.
Such great wordplay.
Wheezy F, baby.
And the F is for finisher.
By the way, I didn't say the name of my song. It was Dark Fantasy by Kanye West.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Beautiful dark. Twisted
the listeners
fantasy.
At home.
Now, like I said, Nick had stolen mine.
Sean, I'm sorry.
Ever so rudely.
I'll make
but,
it up to you.
But I did have one ready on backup, just in case. Now, this one's not exactly the most funny, but every time I hear it, I'm like, God, that is clever. It's from All Falls Down by Kanye. And the line from Kanye is, she couldn't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis.
Oh, I love that line.
So good.
I swear to God.
That is a fantastic line. I mean, I searched for this to look for a line in a Kanye song that I absolutely adored, and I'm a huge Kanye West fan, so I had no issues finding multiple lines. However, when I remembered the Fife Dawg lyric, I'm like, it's kind of the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So I had to go with it.
So are they – people who write Lil Wayne's songs, are they ghostwriters, or is he exclusively writing these? Because he's obviously not college educated. Coming up with all these, you know, advanced.
Yeah. you know what? I mean, in modern, especially that level of mainstream of music, you're not going to find exclusivity for writing as Matt raises his hand and I try not to look at him.
Well,
yes, Matt.
I look on Google to see. I was going to look to see, you know, if there's any Lil Wayne ghostwriter stuff. I type in Lil Wayne ghost.
Lil Wayne.
Shut up. And the second result is Lil Wayne ghost writes for Drake.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. This stems from the conversation last week talking about is Miguel Cabrera could he become the greatest hitter of all time? And, Nick, you brought up Derek Jeter, just referencing him, and that kind of irked me because I think of anybody, Derek Jeter is the most overrated athlete of all time. So explain. I'm curious to hear, like, all right.
Why do you believe that?
Well, take a look at his statistics at first glance. You look at them and you go, oh. You know, yes, he's got the 3,000 hits, which, of course, is a fantastic achievement in and of itself. The guy played for 20 years and played most of the games every single year except for in the 2013 season. He only played 17. Other than that, he never had a season that he played in less than 130 games. So he had a lot of at-bats, and although he was productive, when you think of Derek Jeter, what first comes to your mind other than about his game? What comes to your mind about his game, his specialty?
I would say his jump throw.
Well, see, exactly. You think of Derek Jeter on the defensive side at shortstop, and tell me you wouldn't think that he's one of the best fielding shortstops in history.
Yeah.
He is one of the worst, actually. He never had a defensive war above one. He consistently cost his teams more runs on the defensive side than he was worth. And on his offense, yeah, he had some solid teams. Oh, excuse me. He had three seasons where it was above zero, never above one. So,
okay.
He was never worth more than one win at the shortstop position.
Wow.
And the guy, you know, at 19 years at the plate, had one season where he had a war that was MVP quality. Mike Trout has already had four. So you put that into perspective. He had 11 seasons where his war was considered starter quality. He only had three seasons in which he hit over 20 home runs and only one with 100 RBIs.
So what you're saying...
I think instead of Derek Jeter being one of the greatest shortstops of all time, I think he's just one of the most consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was never great at anything. He was just good.
I know that feeling.
You're good at things?
Sure.
I'm working on it.
So but he's touted as one of the greatest Yankees of all time, and his stats don't deserve that. So, you know, that is something that obviously I am aware and did the research behind to get the facts straight. However, you know, who in your mind is the most overrated athlete?
Alex Rodriguez.
Really?
Yes.
See, last 5 years, Alex Rodriguez, yes. But,
okay.
I mean, Rangers days, yeah. Mariners
well,
days,
on,
absolutely not. I disagree
for,
with
see,
that.
See, now, is
hang
it
on,
because
hang
of
hang
the
on,
steroids?
Whoa, 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 whoa. So, Alex Rodriguez, obviously great talent, right? Mm. Easily. Besides the steroids, he is one of the worst postseason hitters in history. And for a guy that's earned over $350 million just from his contracts, not even endorsement deals, is he worth that money?
That's actually a great question. I mean, just taking a first glance at his stats, you look at Alex Rodriguez and you think, you know, hey, this guy's money. You know, he's going to come up to the plate and he's going to produce. Wow. In 76 games... had 13 home runs and 41 RBIs, hit only 250 with a 365 on-base percentage. Wow. I am incredibly surprised at those numbers. I mean, given, you know, a lot of those, you know, it is what it is. You know, some guys just can't produce in those moments much, you know.
But, okay, my actual most overrated athlete is Carmelo Anthony. I think because Carmelo Anthony played for Syracuse, won a championship, led that team. Obviously, great offensive talent. But because he is best friends with LeBron James, he won at Syracuse, he plays in New York, everyone assumes Carmelo Anthony, top five player in the NBA right now.
A lot of pressure in New York.
Yeah, no, I'm going to disagree with that.
When you think of NBA players, who are the first names that come to your mind? LeBron James. Wade.
Steph Curry.
Well, now Steph Curry, but 5 years ago when Carmelo Anthony was in his prime.
You brought this up earlier, and I don't know if you were serious about this, but I do want to talk about it regardless. What do you guys think about the Dolphins players taking a knee during the national anthem on September 11th? What are your guys' thoughts on that? I mean, we've back in episode one, we talked about Colin Kaepernick and his protest of taking a knee at the national anthem, which I have since rescinded my statement a little bit because he has actually started to take action financially, actually started to help out more to make things happen. But this is a completely different situation with the Dolphins.
Here's the thing. When we were talking about Kaepernick, we even said we get why he's doing it. Yes. I do not understand at all why the Dolphins did that at all.
Arian Foster said this when he was asked by reporters following the game. He said they obviously asked, why did you guys take a knee during the national anthem? And he gave the same reasoning. Why are we going to stand up for a country that doesn't stand up for us? And he said, when the president's video was playing, so when Obama had his speech that played throughout the stadium on the video board, everyone in the stands was booing. We were standing in solidarity with him. What does that resonate in your mind at all? Does that play any kind of factor into it? It's such a weird situation.
So what, they're only behind Obama and not the country?
That's kind of what it started.
That's like, stupid as hell.
Yeah, I disagree. I disagree for the sole purpose that Obama is the head of our nation. You may disagree with the president. However, if he's giving a speech on 9/11 about the tragedy, you kind of suck it up and deal with it, no matter if you like him or not.
But you could give the same excuse for, you know, it's 9/11. Yeah, it's probably, you know, you don't have to agree with why you're standing, but you can suck it up and stand. You could say that too.
It's not about if you don't like what your country stands for right now. It's about what happened to it 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And about the people who died.
It may not have personally affected you. You may not have known a single person who he was even around the East Coast area on the day or the month or the entire year of 2001. That's not the point. The point is that it happened. We cannot just forget that it happened. And as bad as it sounds, and maybe as brainwashed as people would say as it sounds, the world stops when it is September 11th. That is what you think about. That is what you talk about. That is one thing that resonates on your mind all day. And, I mean, we even talked about a lot. When September hit, a lot of things that we were seeing on TV, ESPN, just on random channels while surfing, September 11th, something, 9/11 attacks, something. It overtakes the month up until the day of. The world stops on 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a tweet from President Netanyahu from Israel. Oddly enough, he sent out a tweet in remembrance of 9/11, which I think is kind of funny how world leaders are tweeting, you know, as much as they are now.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, he tweeted out like a remembrance tweet of the victims of 9/11. So I think that's kind of cool how especially, you know, allies of the United States are taking to Twitter and expressing sympathy.
But regarding the Dolphins situation, can you at least, how do I word this even? How do they justify on that day to do that?
It's ballsy. It's ballsy.
I don't understand how you can disrespect your nation and everyone who has fought for your country. That's the one day. Like, you have 15 other games that you can do it for. That is the one day. Why? Why would you do it? Just stand up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Standing up for the president's speech does not excuse that
at
all. The president's the president for 8 years at most. And no, you don't ever have to like the president. You got to treat him with respect, but it's completely different. The
what
country deserves way more respect
September
than 11th the president, any president.
Will affect the United States forever.
Yeah.
Like, that isn't a thing that's going to pass.
Well, I mean, just for us here in Michigan to even just go to Canada,
need to have proper documentation, need to have a certain kind of license, need to have a passport. It was never like that, because I was talking to my parents when I was back home over Labor Day weekend, and I said, I was just joking around. I said, oh, the Flint Firebirds are playing down in Windsor. Maybe we could take a trip. And I'm like, oh, well, we don't have passports. And I was like, all the times that you guys went to Canada, you guys don't have passports? And they said, a lot of the times when we went to Canada was pre-9/11. We didn't need passports. We could just cross the border as many times as we wanted to.
Was the TSA, I don't want to sound ignorant, but was the TSA a thing pre-9/11, or were they less involved?
From what I understand, the TSA was not around. At least, at the very least, to the extent that it is. I know, I can't say this very confidently, but I'm pretty sure that Homeland Security wasn't even around. And it's one of those things because, I mean, so many things have happened and are continuing to happen from the effects that we felt from that day. And it's always going to affect our culture. It's always going to affect our country, our politics. I mean, it's a damning thing.
The TSA was created November 19th of 2001. So,
okay.
Post 9/11.
Yeah.
And what about Homeland Security? I don't know if you can quickly Google that while we
fill the void here.
November 25th, 2002.
Okay.
There you go.
Wow. So what were the national securities that, you know, no, I'm not like asking you to Google all these, but like, it's just kind of funny to think that the limited amount of security measures we had, like in airports, borders before 9/11, like it's a completely different time now.
Yeah. Well, during breaks, mostly, especially on the Lions game on September 11th, I was able to read an incredible, incredible oral history from everyone in the president's cabinet that was pretty much a minute-by-minute readout of everything that was happening on September 11th, 2001. And, I mean, it took me a good 2 hours, and I wasn't even halfway through it, because it was just every level of everyone who was surrounding the president on the day of 9/11, all the press secretaries, his right-hand men, everyone who was there. And the name of the article was, "We're the Only Plane in the Sky," because the only place that it was safe for the president to be, at least that they had thought, was just in the sky. Every other plane was downed. Every single other plane was going to be out of the sky. They didn't know if the terrorists were coming after the president or what. And it's a very chilling article. Factor that in with, I'm sure, if not watching on the day of September 11th, you guys at least recently have seen some attack videos. I mean, it surrounds everything around that very week. And, I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you watch it. It doesn't matter what angle you watch it from. And in fact, just when we were heading to 7-Eleven earlier, Matt and I were talking, and I was talking about the video that I had seen that said it was released recently, but Matt had said that it came out last year. It was video of a New York University student in her dorm room, and it was filmed after the first plane hit the first tower. And, like, they didn't know what was going on. One of them was on the phone with their mom. The TV was on in the background, and you could hear, like, a little bit of the news story happening. And then the camera was still on the World Trade Center as the second plane hit, and it was hysteria. And it's absolutely insane to just try and comprehend the events that had occurred that day.
Live. I mean, yeah, it was on live TV. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And say what you want about President Bush, though, but that man can rally people like no other.
Yeah.
Standing on the rubble of the buildings that what was his quote? It's like, "I hear you, the world hears you, and the people who knock these buildings down will hear from all of us." Mm-hmm. I mean, that gets you fired up,
yeah,
dude. That really.
Well, again, you can say whatever you want about President Bush, but nobody loved their country quite like that man did.
He's a patriot.
Yep. And break.
It's good. We get a breath in. We can decompress. Switch topics to something less sad.
Yeah, please.
Something that happened, actually, you know, being brought up, our way to 7-Eleven. I don't know if...
Oh, yeah, I actually did not tell anyone, because I was anticipating you wanted to Wanted to say it.
Something, you know, Sean and I went to 7-Eleven down the road to get a Slurpee. I go up to the counter, and guy looks at me and says, all right, you're all set. I'm like,
yeah, I know. I'm standing here.
Thank you. Yes, I know. It's $4. He said, no, you're good. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm good. So I grab my wallet, and he says, no, you can leave. You're good. I was like, huh? Wait, what? He's like, you're good. Just go. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is crazy. I've never had anything like this. I mean, it was just two Slurpees, so it would have been $4. But for the sole purpose that either, A, somebody paid for me, or B, the guy at the 7-Eleven just was like, hey, you know, go ahead. Get out of here. I was like, wow. You know, there are still good people left in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So you still owe me $2 is what you're saying.
He takes a heartfelt, great story, rips it right in front of your face.
To Matt Feinar being owed money.
No, it's kind of crazy because it's that 7-Eleven. For those of you up at Central, it's a 7-Eleven on Mission near Bluegrass. And it seems like I've been in there when they've done that before. And it's such a tiny gesture in retrospect. I mean, like you said, it's probably $4. And for a company as massive as one of 7-Eleven is, it's nothing. But it's the principle of the gesture that is absolutely huge. And I was telling Matt a story earlier, right after that had happened when we were on our way back to the apartment, of when I had gotten out of work summer 2015. And I don't know, I just had a big taste from Tim Hortons donuts. Went, got my donuts. It wasn't there that close to closing time. It was probably about a half hour out. But
like the Timbits?
No. Like the Boston creams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because
Cause why not?
No, try this. Donuts. Anyway, the cute girl at the counter is like, all right, have a good night. I'm like, you too, but how much? And she said, nope, you're good to go. I was like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, get out of here. I was like, fantastic. And it wasn't exactly the best night at work, but something so small like that. It
really,
really
just kind of put me in a better mood. Then,
yeah.
You know, but he's
all
right,
we're switching it up a little bit.
All right.
The CMU football game.
Didn't watch it.
The outcome was insane. Now,
wait, what happened?
How do you guys feel about changing the last play and giving Oklahoma State the win?
Absolutely not. And not just because of my CMU bias. Name every single game in the history of sport that has ever been turned around after the end of a game.
Not Jim Joyce or Armando Galarraga, mm-hmm. That's for sure.
And if the most blatant missed call in a perfect game cannot be turned around to say that the game is still perfect, then I think this officiating error cannot be overturned. And I want to say this. I was talking to Feinauer about this earlier. Mike Gundy said he will never allow a group of five officiating staff to work a non-conference game ever again as long as he plays them. But who was the replay officials that were checking the replay to make sure if the game could end or be extended?
Well,
they were Big 12.
You see, Mike Gundy
is a man.
He's a man. He's 40. So you got to respect him. I mean, although he did get screwed, I mean, we're clearly all biased here for the simple fact that we go to CMU and, you know, hey, fire up chips. But I agree with you. I mean, it happened. It is what it is. I mean, Oklahoma State, they can be upset about it all they want. I would be upset about it, and I would be on their side if it happened to me on the flip side.
Sean, weren't you the one to say the students were even like, no, why the hell would they overturn the game?
It was, I mean, there's a lot of Twitter pages. The one that was most prominent was OK State Problems, and a lot of people are tweeting at them like, oh, man, it's such BS. This is crap and everything. And they're like, we are a top 25 team at home in an afternoon game in a very packed environment. We allowed a MAC team, a group of five team, to stick around the entire game. We shouldn't have been in that position. We should not have been close to even having a chance of being able to lose. Herm Edwards, everyone always says it. You play to win the game. Finish your job. Do your job.
don't get yourself in a position where that can happen. Because it goes down to this, too. If CMU doesn't complete the miracle play, we're not talking about it. We're not saying one single peep about this. But obviously, it happened. Game's over. The final score says what it is. You can say CMU didn't earn the win. There's a W on the stat sheet.
Yeah, and I was talking about this with Gore earlier. I don't know the exact name of the analysis on ESPN, but he was completely right. He's like, no, I think it should stay as it is, and this is why, because he's like, if you're going to overturn the whole game because of that one call, you have to go back. He's like, shouldn't you go back through the whole game then? Because he's like, CMU had plenty of missed calls. It's like...
like the missed holding call on like the Oklahoma State touchdown.
Holding like, or reason, tackling.
The only reason that mattered was because it was at such a key point in the game. But I was like, but he was like, maybe CMU was already up by more than that if they got their calls earlier in the game, so that wouldn't have mattered in the first place. He's like, yeah, they missed the call, but if you're going to overturn it because of that one call, it's just stupid because you have to go back through the whole game then.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a call that is a once in a lifetime call for any official. And I think if you got every player on Oklahoma State's team, every player on Central Michigan's team, put them in a room, give them this scenario, how many players do you think will correctly choose, you know, the rule?
Or know the rule.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
nobody knows that rule.
Nobody.
Officials should know that rule.
They had to call Mike Pereira, who, you know, was the head of officiating for the NFL. They had to bring him in, and even him at first was a little hesitant, and it took him a good, you know, few minutes to figure out, wait, no, they shouldn't actually do this. They shouldn't give him a play based on this one technicality.
If you break it down, Oklahoma State, I don't know how many seconds were left on the clock, but it was, you know, very, very few. You know, throwing an intentional grounding, you throw the ball as far as you want. You know, you're not giving Central Michigan a chance to make a play. And, you know, that's strategy involved too, but, you know, shouldn't you –
all you had to do was do literally
anything
but what you did.
Anything!
Just run a wide receiver down the
sideline. Do a somersault! Die! Don't do that! Don't throw the ball! They could have threw it all the way back into the end zone behind them and had it go out the back, and it'd be a safety. Game would still end.
It's true.
Yeah.
You still win. 1 point win. Still a win. Do anything but that. Why you would do that? Why Mike Gundy, a Power 5 coach, a very well-respected coach in the Big 12 Conference, who is 40, who is causing my mic to be turned down, would do that on a game-ending play?
Is that poor coaching, poor quarterback knowledge, poor officiating? What are we concluding this as?
That's a terrible play.
Is there an asterisk? Asterisk? I can't say that word.
Asterisk.
Is there that next to this game for forever?
No. Half of sport is human error. Everything that happens, someone out of position, human error.
You had replay. You had replay.
And they checked it.
And they
Big 12 officiating crew checked it.
So, hey, it is what it is.
I don't think any Central Michigan fan is going to dispute this call. I think a win's a win. The age-old answer, and a win's a win.
Yeah, but, like, just honest, we kind of looked a little bit better than them the whole game, too, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you look at every statistical category. Beat them in passing yards. Beat them in rushing yards. Beat them in first downs. Third down conversions. Fourth down conversions, we had 100% because we had 0%. Mm-hmm. We didn't need to do any fourth down conversions. They were 1 for 3 or something like that. Every statistical category, we outplayed them. Yeah. We straight owned them. So if you want to say that we didn't deserve the win, we got the win.
We won. A win is a win is a win.
Is a win.
Is a win.
Is a win.
Now, I'm not 100% positive if this was the game, but I think it was the Miami Duke game with the laterals.
Oh, God.
Where
the
runner with the ball was down. And they still kept the play going because it was close. You couldn't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
But then they ended up scoring a touchdown.
Crazy play,
And then when they went and reviewed the game after it was over, it turned out that two of the guys were down and there was a holding call, but they didn't change the outcome of the game because that's what happened. But those officials, let's just say they don't have their jobs anymore.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier, and I wanted to raise it to you guys, and I was going to wait because I was 100% assured this was going to be brought up. Do you think this gets any bit of the same controversy if the shoe is on the other foot? CMU throws the ball out of bounds. Intentional grounding's called. Oklahoma State does that. They score. They win.
No, because the nation doesn't give a shit about CMU. We give a shit about CMU a great deal. But no, it would not be a controversy if it was on the other foot at all.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think so either.
About it.
Exactly.
Like, I love this school. I'm just saying, like, just nationwide.
I mean, you're
a
group of five school. It's the reality of the situation. You know, and do I think that there would have been a little bit of outrage? Yeah, probably, but nothing quite to the scope that it got to because, you know, we weren't a top 25 team that lost.
I mean, great outrage in on campus itself because I would complain about
it. You know, I'm actually kind of stunned that it didn't happen to CMU, given CMU athletics. However, we do kind of have a knack for the dramatics at the end of the game on the final play. Although, this one turned out a little bit better than the previous.
Michigan, Detroit, anything team does. Lions.
Don't Matt Prater.
Up. Please do not bring it up.
Michigan State, Michigan last year.
Oh, he has trouble with the snap.
Boy, was that exciting.
And the ball is free.
I was at that game.
I called two friends to complain.
Oh, my goodness.
I laughed.
Literally, I was so happy.
So, I believe it's the ESPYs. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right.
But for the best play of the season, the Hail Mary that Aaron Rodgers had, which should have been taken back. I mean, shouldn't have happened because it wasn't a face mask. But besides the point, that was the play of the year, according to the ESPYs. But how was the Michigan State-Michigan one not the play of the year when that's like a last-second thing? Same exact situation.
Michigan State was losing, too.
The
and
guy
Packers
broke his
were as well, but
he's never going to play football ever again.
Who?
Jalen Watts Jackson broke his hip?
Yes, the guy that scored the touchdown.
Oh.
Broke his hip. That's not a thing that you come back from.
Hmm.
Karma's a
bitch. Yeah, ask Bo.
Sorry, that was on.
Less hip than Bo Jackson.
That's a great line, too.
It's so good. But, I don't know. I think it's the human variable because it was more luck than anything that Michigan State was able to have that occur, not that they were able to make that happen. Now, granted, the individual effort to make the game end in the way it did is one thing. But you got to remember that Hail Mary was all Aaron Rodgers and his receiver. That's competition. So I think on that note, we're going to end the show tonight. We're going to go around counterclockwise with our closing thoughts, as per usual. Gore, final thoughts for the night.
You're going to need to quote this great saying that I'm about to have. Stay off the weed, Stephen A. Smith, Justin Gore.
Drop the mic. It's perfect. Nick Peel, how are you going to possibly follow that up?
I think we all know how I'm going to possibly follow this up. Brad Tunney.
Fantastic.
That's all I got to say.
Wouldn't anticipate anything less, buddy. Matt Feinauer, clothing thoughts and closing thoughts.
Since Gore, you know, God is great, beer is good, people are crazy. Country singer that I don't know. That's a quote, direct quote.
Fantastic. Matt.
I don't appreciate Gore completely ripping off Michael Scott.
My closing thoughts for the night. Don't ever try to coordinate anything that should be uncoordinated because some things have to be left natural. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.